Today's daf is Kaf. We're going to start at the Mishnah, about 12 or 15 lines down from the top on Kaf, and we'll finish till the Mishnah on Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. Meit lo meit, eno yotzei mipetach paltirin shelo. So we're in the middle of the parak discussing the king and the Kohen Gadol. So now we finished issues about the Kohen Gadol, now we're going to move on to details about the king. So if meit lo meit, we already started with details, certain details, now we're continuing after this, the first Mishnah with all the details of the king, we're now getting into other details about him, which compare to ones we discussed about the Kohen Gadol. So meit lo meit, if somebody dies, a close relative, so he has certain laws that relate to him specifically, which is eino yotzei mipetach paltirin shelo. He can't go out from his, how do they do?
The entrance of his palace.
Okay, the entrance of his palace, meaning he can't show any public forms of mourning, because it's not going to look good that people see the king in a bad way. You can imagine, you know, the way when I think about FDR and how they no one showed he was handicapped, right? There's a certain image a king has to keep up. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Imrotze, and this corresponds with other things we saw Rabbi Yehuda say before, which is that Imrotze latzeh achar mita yotze. And like David keeps bringing, like Rabbi Yehuda keeps bringing these exceptions and says, like David HaMelech, here also. We see that Rabbi Yehuda had a shita that if the king wants to do certain things, he can. Okay, so if he wants to, he's allowed to go after the mita. Shekem atzinu b'David, where did we see it by David? Sheatzah har mitato shel avner. Shenemar, v'amelech David halech achar hamita. Okay, so now, in order to get this, we have to get the story about Avner straight. So, Avner was the sartzava of Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul HaMelech died, he also, before this, he killed Asael, who was Yoav's brother, who in Yoav became the sartzava of David, if you recall. So, when Shaul died, Ishbosheth became the king for about two and a half years. On all the rest of the Shvatim, where David was the king in Yerushalayim, in Yehuda. Or over Yehuda. Avner then decides to switch sides after about two or so years. He switched sides and he goes to Lamlichet David over all of the people. But Yoav kills him. Okay? And Yoav kills him because he was upset that he killed his brother. And he kills him.
Because he was hot-headed.
And, right, he was hot-headed also. And he claims that Avner wasn't really trying Lamlichet David. He said he's really trying to mess you up. He didn't trust him. So now David is a little stuck because Avner went to try to lamlich oto. So now David, politically speaking, he was a little bit stuck also. So according to what Rabbi Yehuda says, you see that he went laspid, right? He went holech harmita, and later he does a whole hesped about him. So what does Tanakhama say back to him? Amar le, lo ya davar, le lefayetzatam. It was a political move. He just had to show the people that he wasn't behind the killing of Yoav, but it was politics, right? This is classic. Somebody does something, and the Rosh Memshala has to claim that this wasn't my doing.
Which is why
the
comparison to FDR doesn't work, because for FDR it was a secret, and here the whole problem, or with anybody who dies near the king, it's public, and the question is how the people are going to see him react.
Well, the connection really is that you want to keep up a certain public image.
Right, but the part of that image is how do you react to the person who died and the whole situation, whereas for FDR, it was just a secret.
Right, that's true. But I guess what I was trying to say is that David...
But there is an image.
David was trying, or any king has to keep up a certain image. So you can't see him looking miserable and dejected, and people are going to say, we have no ruler. You know, who's taking care of us? So that's really the concern. They're not really so concerned with, oh, his mother died, and look, he doesn't care.
Okay.
That wasn't really of interest to them. Now we're moving on to a new thing. So again, question, was it a political move that he did it, or was he really allowed to go harmita, in which case Rabbi Yehuda says, we can learn from here that any king can do what he wants. He just doesn't have to, but he can if he wants. Ukisha mavrinoto, and when he has the sudat avra'ah, and the people come and give him a meal, kol ha'am esubin, ala aretz, v'hum esev ala dargash. Everybody goes on the ground, and he sits on this dargash, which we're going to get to in the Gemara, what exactly is a dargash. Right, they don't translate it because we don't know yet what it is. Tanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara starts out with a braita. Makom shenagu nashim latzeit achar amita, yotzot lefnei amita. Latzeit achar amita, yotzot. Lefnei amita, yotzot. So the makom for there was a, the makom shenagu determines where the women go. If the women, their minhag was to go behind the mitah, and then the assumption is the men went in front of the mitah. Okay, we're getting off on a tangent about general burial practices, so or funeral practices. So if the women would go behind the mitah, which is actually, according to the Mefarshim, more tzanua, because the women are in the back and the men aren't looking at the women. So they do it that way. However, some people say because this is how they look, you know, we're at a cemetery, we're not exactly worried about what people are thinking. And therefore, if their minhag is to go before the mitah, they can go before the mitah, and then the men would go me'acharei ha-mitah. Rabbi Yehuda omer la'olam nashim lefnei ha-mitah yotzot. They always go before the mitah, and the men go behind the mitah. How do we know this? And now you'll see why they bring this up. Shekem asinu b'David, sheyatza achar mitato shel avner, sheneemar, v'amelech David holech achar ha-mitah. So he proves from here that the women always go behind the mitah, in front of, because David was behind. Amrula, and obviously David didn't go with the women. Amrula, lo haya davar ela lefayes ta'am. Now, Tana, the Chachamim were consistent with their approach. He was clearly doing a political move here. V'nitpaisu, and it worked. Shaya David yotze miben hanashim, v'nechnas leben hanashim, v'yetze miben hanashim, v'nechnas leben hanashim. Clearly, he was weaving in and out of the entire crowd. And don't understand the Haram Mitah, he was with the men, because first they said, obviously, he was with the men. But no, he actually weaved his way in and out the entire nation. How do we know this? Shenemar v'yedu kol ha'am v'chol Yisrael. Here they stress the whole nation and all of Israel. I don't know why they need the double, but I guess they learned from there. It's also he went among the women. Ki lo haitam ha'amelech la'amita davner. And here's the proof text, really, for after David did a good political move, because in the end, everyone realized that it wasn't his motive, it wasn't his word that because of that Yoav killed Avner. Darash Rava. So now Rava darshins. Ma'id k'tiv ha'yavo kol ha'am lehavrot et David. K'tiv lehachrot. Krinan lehavrot. Okay, so there's kriyuch k'tiv here. I looked in the Tanakh and there's no kriyuch k'tiv there. It says lehavrot. But apparently there was a masoret that there was a k'tiv where it said lehachrot. With the bet and the cuff, you could see they would get confused. There's just a little chubchik sticking out. So it says lehavrot means to have a sudat havra'a for him. But it's written lehachrot, to destroy. So, bitchila lehachroto, first they wanted to kill David, ulevasof lehavroto, but then they realized, and again supporting this thesis. Amar Yehuda Amarav, mipnei ma nase ne'enash Avner. Why was he punished? Why did he get killed, right? Obviously he got killed because Yoav killed him, but the assumption is no one gets killed unless they're punished. What was he punished for? He should have protested Shaul's actions, and he didn't. Which actions of Shaul are we talking about? Machloket. Whether it was when Nov Irakwanim protected David, and Shaul went and told, it's actually an interesting story, he tells his officers to go kill the city, and it says there, v'lo avu Avdei HaMelech L'shloch HaKadam. Nobody wanted to do it, and then Doeg Edomi gets up and he says, I'll do it. And he kills the people that know of Yerah Kohanim as punishment. So they say here that Avner should have been Micha, and he did it. A bit of a problem because it says all the other kings, people didn't want to do it. Obviously, he was among them. So some people say he didn't protest enough. He could have he had the power to protest. Exactly. He was in a position that they would have listened to. And other people say that it's actually not talking about that, because clearly he did protest there. And that what they're talking about is just that Shaul was chasing David all the time, and Avner should have stopped him from doing it. Okay, so now you see that Avner should have protested. This teaches you, by the way, that if someone's doing something wrong and you don't get involved, the Avera is attributed to you also. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Micha v'lo na'ana. He did protest, but he wasn't answered. Ushne mikracha darshu, and they both darshu from the same pasuk. Vayikonen, here comes the kina that David, the hesped that David does for Avner. Vayikonen hamelech el Avner, vayomer, hakimot naval yamut Avner. Is he going to die like a rasha, right? A naval, like naval brushut ha-toha, you know, a bad person. Yadecha lo asurot, viraglecha lo l'nechushtayim. L'nechushtayim? How do you pronounce that word? Lenechushtaim hugshu. Okay, your hands weren't tied, your legs weren't put in chains. And then the rest of the pasuk says, "Kinfol lifnei b'nei avla nafalta." Okay, you fell in front of the bad people. You know, when you fell you fell like the b'nei avla fall. Okay, so now, how are we going to read this? Mat da'amar lo micha hachi kamar. The one who said he didn't protest, it's actually accusing him. This pasuk. Yadecha lo asurot v'raglecha lo nechush le. Nechushtaim hukshu, what does that mean? You were a free person. You were in a position of power where you could have said something and you didn't. My time alo machita. And because of that, kinfol lefnei b'nei avla nafalta. And therefore you fell like the bad fall. Okay, that you actually are bad. Umanda amar micha velo na'ana. It said as a question. It's mu'e mitama. Okay, it's mu'e mitama. It's a question. Hakimot naval yamut, are you going to die like a bad person? Yadecha lo asurot, your hands weren't tied. Raglecha lo nechushtayim, like a criminal. Michte mechuye machit, because you actually protested. My taima, kinfol lefnei b'nei avla nafalta. Why did you fall like the b'nei avla, if that's the case? Okay, which makes more sense in the context that this was a hesped. Right? In a hesped, you don't exactly say, oh, you were killed because of this, that, and the other thing. Right? It's not exactly. So either, right, this is how, it all depends on your tone and how you say it, could be said as itself and its and the opposite. Lemanda amar micha, my time and iyanush. So if you say he really did protest, well, then you have to explain why was he punished. Amrav Nachman, what's the correction? Bar Yitzchak, Sheshaham Achut David Shtei Shani Vamechtze. That he didn't make the David king 2.5 years earlier when Ishbosheth took over. He should have. He basically prolonged, he pushed off David being Melech of as king of Israel. Ukishim Avrinoto. Now we have this issue, the people sit on the floor and the king on the Dargash. Okay, we're going to get into all sorts of issues about what beds looked like and what this dargash was.
It's funny that we get avilut here and there.
Right, it's true. Avilut really, right. It doesn't have its own masechet and
organized.
Yes.
It's useful.
Right, but
not
it's
that
not.
That's the factor of anything.
It's true. Okay. My dargash. Amr Ula Arsa Degada. It's a bed for good luck that people would have. Okay, this show is superstitious. Some of them say, how could you say such a thing? This is not, this is like Avodah Zarah, but they say, no, it's not used for Avodah Zarah. They try to give reasons why this isn't exactly Avodah Zarah. But it was a good luck bed that people would never use for any other purpose, except for decorative and good luck purposes. And the king would dafka use that bed for purposes of Avilut. Amalei Rabbana Le'ula, mi kamidi da'ara ina lo dvune, v'hashtam utvinan le'? Makes no sense. Nobody ever sits on this, and dafka when he's in Avel, he's going to sit on it. Matkifla Rava, my kushya, what's wrong with this? Why do you have a problem with this? Dilma midi dehavi achila vishtia, da'ada igna lo achilna velo ashkine, hashta kamuchlina le bekamashkina le. It's just like achila ushtia. What's unique about an avel? Generally, an avel eats, a person eats his own food. Navelu, it has to be that he can only eat food that other people bring him or feed him. There's this issue of feeding the avel. And therefore, just like his eating and drinking is in a way that he doesn't normally do, likewise, his sitting could be in a way that we don't normally do. So therefore, we say, Rava was saying, what kind of a question is that? So Rabbanan said to Ula, how could this possibly be? We never sit on it and we do. Rava says, that's not even a question. And therefore, he's going to say the question was something else. We're going to have several versions of what possibly this question was. Ela'i kasha ha'kasha. Dargash eino tzarich lechafoto ela lezokfo. We know that a dargash doesn't have to be turned over. What they would do is they would always turn the beds upside down. And this one, you would just stand up. And if you say it's just a regular bed that's for good luck, amayeno tzarich lechafoto. Vahatanya kofe mitato lo mitato bavado kofe ela kol mitot sheyesh lo betoch beito kofe. Okay, we know that any bed in your house has to be overturned. So therefore, why would this bed be any exception? So my kushya, So the question is, right, if it's an arsa degade, it doesn't make any sense that you wouldn't turn it upside down. So now they say, my kushya, dil, now that's also not a good question. Dilma mi dahavi amitami uchedet lekelim. You could say that dargash doesn't fall into the category of all the mitot in the house. It's in a unique category, just like we have a category called a bed that was used for kelim. That kind of a bed, right, you can imagine people didn't have enough tables, let's say. They used their bed as a table. It functioned as both, maybe, or it's used as a, right, a countertop. And what do we know about this kind of mita? He doesn't actually have to turn it over. So therefore, you could say the same thing about this mita, this mita for good luck. So therefore, we're going to try another option of what the question was. Elei kasha hakasha. Rashban homer dargash matir karbitin v'hu nofel me'elav. Rashban says, we said before that you don't have to flip over the dargash. But now there's a source that says, right, that's what we started with. Why is this, right? Because the dargash, we know you don't have to turn it on its side. But Rashbag disagrees with this opinion and thinks that a dargash, your matir karbitin, now the beds had these, like a piece of fabric or something on it, and it tied to the sides. Okay, I'm just going to get the iPad.
It was like a rope
weave,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it was woven. I mean, again, there's different beds and different types, and we're going to see here some different types. But we'll get to this picture in a minute. But here, so this is what the dargash would look like in the Quran. They have a picture without, and as you would just let off the fabric, and it would fall. And instead of turning it upside down, that would be sufficient, because now there's nothing in it. How exactly you sit on it? I guess you sit on the edge of it. Or maybe you just have to turn it over, and only the king was sitting on it, and maybe that's the issue. The arsa de gada doesn't have these karbitin, okay? And that doesn't make anything, as it doesn't have this, if they translate the karbitin as, karbitin. Right, the straps. Mm-hmm. And they're basically saying this bed, it had the dargash seemed to have some sort of unique system of straps, which we don't find on beds. So if it was a good luck bed, it doesn't make sense it would have these straps. Again, you have to understand better what their beds look like, and you have to see to the Emoraim really understand what their beds look like in the Tekuvat HaTanaim, but okay. Ela ki ata ravina amar, he said, amar li yahume rabbana v'rav tachli vashmei. I heard from a certain rabbi, and his name was Rav Tachlifa. To have a shechiach b'shuka di gildai, he was very often in the shuk, so this is the guy who knows what the beds look like, because he knew, you know, you might know your own bed in your house, but the guy in the shuk knows all different types. Ba'amarle, my dargash, arsa ditzala. It was a dargash of leather, okay? It was made of leather. It was a bed made with a leather, it had a leather piece on it. Amar of Yirmiya, Amar of Yochanan, Dargash Serugo Mitocho, Mita Serugo Me'al Gaba. So now he says there's a difference between them. The Dargash, and here are the pictures in the Quran that are very helpful, they had these straps that would tie onto the bedpost. Here it seems like they do have straps. So the Dargash, the straps would be tied onto into the wood itself. They would make a hole in the wooden beams, and they would tie the beams of the four beams of the bed frame, mm-hmm. and they would tie the straps through the holes. And in the regular bed, they would tie it around the frame. Meitive, but wait, we have a problem with that, because what does it say? Klei eitz me'ematai mekablim tum'ah. Now we're going to bring, actually don't know, is this a Mishnah or a, let's see. It's a Mishnah, right. It's a Mishnah in Kalim. Mm-hmm. That clay eats, from what point is it makabel tuma, which means really, what point is it a kli? Hamita v'harisa misha yishufam be'or hadag. When you would sand it with the skin of a fish, they would use the skin of a fish to sand the bed. Once it's sanded, v'im mita misureget me'al gaba, lama li shifat or hadag. If you're going to wrap the rope around it, or the straps, or whatever it is, then you won't need it to be sanded, because it's going to be, in this picture, you could see, maybe you want to sand it in between. It has spaces. But I guess the point is, even you don't even need it sanded if you have the ropes jutting out, because the ropes are jutting out, and they're preventing you from touching the bed frame. Okay. So, yeah, okay. Again, this picture makes it a little harder to understand. If you imagine, let's say, the ropes go cover the entire bed frame, it makes more sense that it wouldn't need sanding. Ela ha v'hamitocho. Now they explain that both of them actually are looped inside the beam itself, which means the outside of the beam would need sanding. Ayule vafuke bibizione. Sorry, mita ayule vafuke bibizione. The bed goes directly into the holes. And a dargash aule vafuke ba'avakta. You put a loop in the hole, and then you tie the straps around the loop. And that's the difference between a dargash and a mita. Okay, not a huge difference either which way. Amar, but you can see here they're struggling because they don't know what exactly the reality of it was. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, halacha kirashbag. Okay, getting back to this issue about do you have to turn over the dargash or not? So according to him, you don't turn it over. According to Tanakhama, you stand it up, and according to Rashbag, you just have to loosen the ties, and the whole thing falls, and that's how you deal with it. Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Ami, mitasha naklita yotzin zokva v'dayo. Now that we're talking about dina avilut and mitot and all that, we're now going to talk about another bed, which also there's a picture in the Koran, which is basically a canopy bed. So if you have a canopy bed where the beams that jut, that go out high up to hold up the canopy are very high up, then it's very hard to turn over the bed, and it's going to be way too high to do anything. So basically, you just turn it on its side, and that's sufficient. Okay, new Mishnah, back to the king. Another law about a king. When he wants to go to Melchemet Rishut, he has to do it in front of a court of 71, which we already learned in the first mission of the Perek, the first Perek. But anyway, we'll see why it has to be repeated. He can go through, if he wants to have a path to get to his house through someone else's field, he's allowed to basically go through anybody's house and to use their property for their own sake. Freshim asked, what about Navot, right? Karam Navot, what about that? I heard one interpretation. The first, he asked permission, and Navot said no, and that was his problem. And that had he not asked permission at all, it would have been fine. Anyway, it's a question. Derech HaMelech Ein Lo Shi'ur, he can make it as wide as he wants. V'chol Ha'am Bo Zezim V'notnin Lo V'hu Notel Chelek Barosh. When they have a war and the nation takes stuff from the war, so they bring it all to the king, and he chooses first what he wants, and then the people divide up everything they want after. Okay, so Gemara starts out immediately and says, Tanina Chadazimna, we already learned this first line in the first mission of the Masechet. Ein Motzim L'Mecheret HaRashut El Al Pi Beitin Shel Shavim Ve'Echad. So now what do they say? I did the Tana Komile de Melech, Tana Nami, Mosin le Mechemet HaRashut. It's a good way of organizing it. We organized it there in terms of the numbers of the Sanhedrin. And here we want to organize it in terms of unique mitzvot to the king. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now we have a very big debate. Okay, before we get to it, let's start with Shir in Tanakh. Okay, we have a lot of Tanakh stuff going on here because we're talking about the king. If you look at Sefer Shmuel, Perek Chet, a very famous Perek Shmuel Aleph, when the people come to Shmuel and they say, we want a king, Shmuel gives them a very long speech where he says, Ze yeh mishpat ha-melech, it's Perek Yud Aleph, and he says, Asher yimloch alechem, okay, this is what the king is going to do to you. Epenechem yikach, he's going to take your sons, v'samlo b'merkavto, v'farashav, he's going to use them for his chariot, v'ratu lefnei merkavto, v'ilasum lo sarei alafim, v'sarei chamishim, v'lacharosh charisho, l'ksor k'tziro, l'asor klei mechamto, klei rechbo, and he continues on, and he says, your kids are going to be taken away, and he's going to take your avadim, and your shvachot, and your bachorim atovim, and your chamorim, and use them for his own sake, etc. And then you're going to say, v'za'aktem v'yomahum v'lefnei malkechem asher b'chartem, right? And, okay, basically, you get the gist. So now the question is, if Shmuel said that this is what the king's going to do, does that mean that the king is allowed to do this? Okay, maybe not has to, but is he allowed to? So there's a debate about it. So now we're going to see. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says, Kol ha'amor b'parashat melech, melech mutar bo. Shmuel says, king says it, you could do it, right? Interesting, it's Shmuel, right? Shmuel and Avi. Okay. Rav Amar, lo ne'emra parasha zo, ela la'ayem alehem. He was just trying to put fear into them. It's not saying the king can do it. He was trying to scare them. Shne'emar, well, it's not just scare them. What he's really trying to say is that the king is going to be a scary figure for you. He's going to have a lot of power and control over you, and you have to fear him. Shne'emar, som tesim alecha melech, shetehe emato alecha. He wanted the people to fear the king, and that's why he said this. So now they're going to say that this machloka Rav and Shmuel is actually based on a machloka Tanaim, Kitanai. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Amor B'Parashat Melech, Melech mutar bo. Rabbi Yehuda omer lo ne'emra prashazo ela kedei la'yem aleihem shne'emar som tasim alecha melech shetehe mato alecha. So interestingly enough, it says here exactly the same shitot. Here Rav and Shmuel very, you know, exactly match the machloka tanaim. Sometimes, right, they try to connect some other machloka tanaim. Here it's obvious that it's the case. V'chein haya Rabbi Yehuda omer, and the Braita continues here that we're quoting, Gimel mitzvot nitztavu Yisrael b'knisatan la'aretz. There were three mitzvot that they were commanded, the Jewish people, when they got into the land. Number one, la'amid la'em melech. Number two, la'chritz zer'o shel Amalek, to destroy Amalek. And number three, livno lem et beit ha'bechira. So we're going to see that one was dependent on the other and in this particular order. Okay? What does it mean, b'knisatan la'aretz? There's all these other mitzvot they were commanded, b'knisatan la'aretz. So I'll give you two answers. One is, these are mitzvot mutalot ala tzibur, as opposed to the yachid. Right? The other is trumot, maasrot, all sorts of other things are individual. And what they mean here is not that these were the only mitzvot they got, it's that these are three mitzvot that one is dependent on the other. And that was the idea of what they were trying to say here, as we'll see soon in the Gemara. Now we're going to see, okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a mitzvah limnot melech, according to what he just said, right? There's a mitzvah to appoint a king, which means, first of all, king is a good thing, possibly, and there's a mitzvah to do it. Rabbi Nehorai Omer, he's going to disagree and say, lo ne'emra parshazo, ela keneged tar omatan, sh'ne'emar va'amar ta'asim alai melech v'chulei. Okay, that really, right, this is quoting from the pasuk in Dvarim, Ki tavo ala aretz asher Hashem lekach noten lecha v'yirashta v'yashavta ba v'amarta asim alai melech kechol hagoyim asher svivotai. So then you can som tasim alecha melech, right? But the whole issue of a king is really b'di'eved, and there's really no mitzvah to make a king. So Rabbi Yehuda thinks it's a mitzvah to appoint a king. Rabbi Noah says it's not a mitzvah, and it's only because the people did it. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer omers, kenim shabador kahogen shalu. Rabbi Lezer says that this kenim asked appropriately, shenamar, and this is in Shmuel, t'na lanu melech l'shaftenu. Okay? The pasuk there, you have to read it, we saw in the beginning of Perek Chet, it says, v'yitkabtsu kol zikne Yisrael v'yavo al Shmuel haramata, v'yamru elav hineh ata zakanta, u'banecha lo'ochu b'drachecha, ata sima lanu melech l'shaftenu. Okay, so according to the Gemara, stop there, end quote. But if you read the rest of the pasuk, you'll see. Then it says, kechol agoyim. So according to the Gemara, aval amei ha'aretz shebehem kilkelu v'amru, v'yinu gam anachnu kechol agoyim, v'shafanu malkenu, v'yetze lefaneinu. Okay, so then they say the other part about kechol agoyim, that they want to be like the rest of the goyim. Okay, and that part wasn't really said by this kinim. So again, that shows that there's a mitzvah to appoint a king. What they did wrong was how they went about it and what kind of king they wanted. Tanya Rabbi Yossi Omer. Now we're going to go back to those shalosh mitzvot. Shalosh mitzvot nitzvu Yisrael b'knisatan la'aretz. La'amid la'em melech, la'chritz zero shel Amalek, livnot lehem beit ha'bechira. Ve'eini yodea eze mehen tchila. And I don't know which one goes first, so now he's going to derive it from psukim. Kishuhu omer by Amalek, ki yad al kesia milchama la'ashem b'Amalek, midor dor. What's, right, when are you going to do the milchama? When yad is al kesia. What's kesia? Okay, that's kise Hashem. So now we're going to see. Have omer la'amid la'em melech tchila. That teaches you have to make a king first, is kise Hashem. Ve'en kise el ha'melech, sh'ne'emar, v'yashev Shlomo al kise Hashem limloch. Okay, sat on Kisei Hashem Limloch. So there you see a reference to a king being Kisei Hashem. So Kesia means king has to come first and then Amalek. V'adayin eini yodei im livno lem beit ha'bechira t'chila o l'achritz arosh al Amalek t'chila. Which one should come first? Kishu omer v'niach lechem michol evechem v'haya makom asher yivchar Hashem. Right, this is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim. It says, right, when you get to the land and okay, so first it says, cross the Yarden, get into the land, then it says, etc. Okay, so sounds like you have to deal with your enemies first. And what do they assume the enemies are? Amalek. Okay, v'heve omer lachritza rosh Amalek tchila. V'chein, and that's a pasuk about the commandment. Now they're going to say, in actuality, that was true also in practice. V'chein b'David omer v'hayak yashav Amalek David b'beito v'Hashem iniach lo misaviv, right, from all his oivim, uktiv. That's when he said, it's time to build the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, then he's told that he has too much blood on his hands and he can't do it. But at that point, when he finished fighting all his battles, he was ready to build it. Amar Rish Lakish. Now we're going to get to Shlomo HaMelech and his downfall. B'tchila malach Shlomo al ha'elyonim, sh'ne'amar v'yeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem. This is why we're bringing it, because Shlomo, we mentioned kisei Hashem. So kisei Hashem, he was also ruler of all the malachim also. Ulevasof malach, okay, it doesn't say the word rock, but it means only ala tachtonim, shenemar, ki huro debachol ever hanahar, mitifsach va'ad aza. So then it says, right, he was in charge of just the land. Rabbi Shmuel, there's a debate about what this means, tifsach ad aza. Charamar tifsach b'self ha'olam, va'aza b'self ha'olam. One is on one side of the earth, and one on the world, and one is on the other, right? Imagine the world is flat. Or you could say it's round, right? This is actually interesting. If you say the world is round, right, you'll see in a minute. They were right next to each other. Right, the same way he ruled in these two places that were right next to each other, likewise he ruled over the whole world. You could say if the two places were next to each other, then it's also the right. You can imagine the world is round. It goes all the way around the world. You can envision it. Obviously, not imagine the world around the world is round. Point was, you could imagine that those two places are next to each other. That means make a line around the world. Anyway, either which way you figure out what's Tifsach and what's Aza, you know, where are these places, it doesn't matter. This point is, he ruled over the entire world, but meaning the world down here, not the world up top anymore. Then, okay, it gets worse though. Then he only was leader of Yisrael. Ani Kohelet Hayiti Melech al Yisrael. Okay, in Kohelet he says, I was the king of Israel. Ulebasof lo malach ela Yerushalayim Shneamar Divrei Kohelet Ben David Malach Melech b'Yerushalayim. Okay, he was king only in Yerushalayim. Ulebasof lo malach ela Mitato. This we quoted a little while ago. Shneamar Hine Mitato Shel Shlomo. Right, he has the Shishim Gibarim Sarivla. So he's an end only on his bed, and ulevasof lo malach ela al maklo, just on his makel. Shneamar zech hayach chelki mikol amali. This is in Kohelet. You can tell from the lingo. And what he was saying is, this is all I have left. And what do they assume? What's this? It must be some random item, you know. And they call it a makel, which connects with the dayan who has his makel in the beginning, but which maybe is a sign of rulers, right? Maybe it's a sign of he's got some sort of rule, but he's really ruling over nothing. Rabbi Shmuel, there's a debate about what this thing was. Chanamar maklo, chanamar gundo, his talit. But that's all he had left. Hadar or lo hadar? So now the question is, did Shlomo do tshuva or did he not do tshuva? Rabbi Shmuel, chanamar hadar, v'chanamar lo hadar. Okay, machloket also Rabbi Shmuel. Mandamar lo hadar, melech v'hedyot. First he started as king, then he became a regular guy. Umandamar hadar, Melech v'hedyot v'melech. He was a melech, then he was a hedyot, and then he became melech again. Okay, that he did tshuv at the end, did rise to greatness again. Okay, paretzla, you can imagine why they're discussing this, right? We got to this because of Kisei Hashem, but really they're trying to get at the king and power and how power corrupts and what the downfall is. Really, it belongs a little bit more in the next Mishnah, which is all about lo yirbeh lo nashim, because that was what brought his downfall. Okay, he can go into other people's houses, you know, take a path, but really we're going to deal with the end, which is about the war. Tana Rabbanan. Otsrot melachim lamelech. Ushar bizah shebozizim mechtza lamelech umechtza lam. This is a little different from our Mishnah. This one says that when they had a war, all the king's treasures that they would conquer go straight to the king, and everything else, he gets half and they get the other half. Amar le Abai le Rav Dimi, v'amar le Rav Acha, bishlama otsrot melachim lamelech orcha demelta. That's typical. That's what happens in basic wars. Aval shar bizah shebozizim mechtza lamelech mechtza l'am minalam. Where do you get this from? Dechtiv v'yimshichu l'Hashem l'negid u'litzadok. Okay, the rest of the pasuk is, this is when they're mimlichu Shlomo shenit, it says, Shlomo ben Navi, v'yimshichu l'Hashem l'negid u'litzadok l'kohen. So what does it have to do with anything? They're comparing Makish Nagid L'Tzadok. They're comparing him as a Nagid to Tzadok being a Kohen. Matzadok, Mechtelo, Mechtelecha. We learned this about the Lechem Apanim. The Kohen Gadol would get half, and the rest of the Kohanim would get the other half. Af Nagid, Mechtelo, Mechtelechiv. Where do we learn this from? V'tzadok gufe minala. And Tanya, Rabbi Omer, we learned this in Bava Batra, Vaita la'aronu lebanav, mechta la'aronu mechta lebanav, right? The thing is, when you say, I'm giving this to my wife and to my kids, do you mean my wife gets half and my kids get half? Or do you mean that she's getting a portion like the other kids, right? So that was, they use this as one of their proofs, that she gets half. Okay, new Mishnah. We're going to go through all the things that the king has commanded in Sefer Dvarim, that he shouldn't lo yirbelo nashim, lo yirbelo susim, etc. Lo yirbelo nashim, ela shmona asrei. Okay, we're going to see three-way machloket, how many wives can he have? And we're going to see in the Gemara, there's even other opinions. He can only have 18. We're going to see how we get to 18. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, marbehu lo. Right? 18 seems like a lot to us, but... Rabbi Yehuda Omer, marbehu lo. Ubavad shelo yuhu mesirot et lipo. Rabbi Yehuda seems to say he can have as many as he wants, as long as, what does it say in the pasuk there? Lo yirbelo nashim. Let's read the whole pasuk. Velo yasur levavo. Right? So that they don't turn his heart away. So... He says, as long as they don't turn his heart away, but if they're good wives, then he can have as many as he wants. Rabbi Shimon Omer, afilu achatu misirat libo hare lo yisa'ena. Im kein lama ne'amar lo yirbelo nashim, da'afilu ka'avigail. It's a little unclear what Rabbi Shimon's saying and how he disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, but I'll give you one interpretation. He's really saying two things here. He's saying, number one, Rabbi Yehuda says he can have as many as long as they're not Mesirat Libo. So he's saying, even a chad he can't have if she's going to be Mesirat Libo, which I think Rabbi Yehuda would probably agree with also, but not so clear. And then he says, so what's lo yirbelo nashim? Dafilu kavika. Rabbi Yehuda says, over 18 he can go as long as they don't turn his heart away. He says, number one, you can't have one who's going to turn away his heart. Number two, over 18, you can't go either, even if you have great wives like Abigail, who was a good wife.
Heart away means from Hashem.
What?
Turning his heart away means
right,
from
turning
Hashem,
his heart
like
away
from
Hashem.
Other wives
no, no, no. We're not worried about turning his heart away from the other wives. No, nobody seems to be concerned about that.
Didn't think so.
No. Lememra de Rabbi Yehuda Darish Tama Dekra, Rabbi Shimon lo Darish Tama Dekra. It sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is Dorish Tam Dikra, because he says, right, as long as they're not Mesir Libo, you can have Marbelo Nashim. And Rabbi Shimon says, Lo Yerbelo Nashim, period, right, no matter what. And in addition, Lo Yasur Levavo, right, so he's not Darshan Tam Dikra. The Ha'if Hashamin Alehu, but we know the exact opposite is true in other places. And they bring one example, Titania Almana, Bein Shianiya, Bein Shiashira, Eime Mashkininota, Shinemar, Lo Tachbol Beged Almana. We learned this recently also in Bava Batra. You can't take the Beged of an Almana as a Mashkon. What's the reason? Because you're going to end up going to her house every night to return the Mashkon, and then you're going to have Yichud with an Almana, and it's going to be bad. So, Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't matter whether she's Anir or whether she's Ashir. Because what's the assumption? In Ani, you'd have to return it every night. In Ashir, you wouldn't have to return it every night if she was Ashira. But Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. It says you can't take Beged Almana. It doesn't matter if she's Ashira and it's not relevant. So he's not Dorish Tama Dekra. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashira Mimashkaninota, Aniya Eim Mimashkaninota. Okay? Only an Aniya does this apply to, because he's Dorish Tama Dekra, and the whole reason is you might go to her house. And we're only worried about an Aniya and an Ashira. Right, and this is his reason, because you're going to have to return it to her, and you're going to have a bad name among the neighbors. Okay, she's going to have a bad name. Right. V'amrinan, my kamar. So now we say, so what can we say? Hachi kamar. Mitoch sha'ata memashkena, ata chayav lachzir la, v'ata mesia shem rabbi shchenoteh. They're explaining, right, they're just explaining what exactly that means. Alma, so what do you see from here? Rabbi Yehuda lo darish tamid kra. He doesn't darish in this. Rabbi Shimon darish tamid kra. So now what do we say? Okay, so let's explain it like this. Be Alma, Rabbi Yehuda lo darish tamid kra. Really, he doesn't. But shane hacha, what's different in our pasuk? De mefarish tamid kra, ma tam lo yirbelo nashim, mishum de lo yasur levavo. The tamid kra is in the pasuk. It didn't explain in the Beged Almana why you can't take a Beged Almana. Here it explains it in the pasuk, so it's telling you the reason why lo yirbelo nashim is because lo yasur levavo. If the pasuk is telling you, well, then you can go with it. Rabbi Shimon amar le Michti ba'amad arshin and tamad kra im kein lichtav kra le'arbel anashim v'lishtok. Since generally we can be Dorish Tamid Kra, the Pasuk shouldn't have said anything about Lo Yasror Levavo. It would have been obvious that that's the issue. Va'an Amina, we would have said, Matan Lo Yarbeh, Mishum De Lo Yasror. So therefore, Lo Yasror Lamali, so Lo Yasror must be additional to teach us something else. Afilo Achat U'Mesirat Libo Hareza Lo Yisa'ena. So then, even one U'Mesirat Libo, he can't even marry her. That's the first thing we learn. Ela Ma'ani Mekayem Lo Yarbeh. So then why do you need Lo Yarbeh? Dafilu kavigayo. So then they say, and Lo Yarbeh is coming to teach you the even kavigayo. Okay. Hane shmonasra minala. Where do we get this number, this magic number 18? Dichtiv vayivaldu l'David banim b'chevron vayibachoro amnon l'achinoam Yisraeli. Okay. So there we have the first, achinoam. U'mishneu kilav l'avigayo eshet naval ha-karmeli. That's number two. Vashlishi avshalom b'acha. Ma'acha is three. Harivii Adonia ben Chagid, Chagid is four. Chamishi Shvatia ben Avital, Avital is five. Hashishi Yitraim le Egla, Eshet David, Egla is six. Ela Yaldu le David beChevron. These were his sons in Chevron, so we see he has six wives. The Kamar le Navi, and then the Navi came and said to him when he was upset with him about Bathsheba, he says, Im ma'at v'osifa lecha kahena v'kahena. If it's not enough for you, I'll add to you like this and like that. So there you have, he could go up to 18, right? Like your six and like another six. Kahena sheet, v'kahena sheet, each one is six. Tehavalu timnesre. Okay. Matkif la Ravina. Ravina says, wait a minute. Ve'ema kahena taritesre. Why don't you say kahena already gets you up to 12, the first kahena. V'kahena would be double 12 and you get to esrim v'arba. Vitanya namihachi, and there's a brighter that supports this. There's a brighter that says, I told you we'd see other shitot. Lo yirbel anashim yoter mi'asrim v'arba. So there you have. Leman didarish vav. Then they say, wait a minute. More question. If you're darish levav, arbi mushmona havu. Because it says kahena v'chahena. So kahena is this. Another vav adds another. Double of that is 24. And kahena then is double that 48. And interestingly enough, Tanya Nami Hachi, Lo Yarbeh Anashim, Yoter Mi'arba Im V'Shmoneh. There's even a source that says, "Betana Didam My Time." So now, what's the reason for our Tana? Amar Rav Kahana, Mekish Kahena Batra LeKahena Kama. Okay, very interesting. Rav Kahana says this, right? Kahena Kahana. So Kahana is Mekish. He's Mekish Kahena Batra LeKahena Kama. He's going to say, no, these two Kahenas are the same. Ma kahena kama sheet, af kahena batra sheet. Just like the first one, six, the other one, six. Now they say, wait a minute. V'ha hava Michal. There was also Michal. What about her? She's not mentioned here. She's one of, right? So now, so Amarav, Egla zo Michal. No, Michal is Egla. Egla is a reference to Michal.
Are they trying to argue that he stopped at six?
No, because we'll see that he added more later. Right. But they say at this point already he was married to Michal. Like you could say later on he married more wives. What about Michal? V'lama nekra shma Egla, shechaviva alav ke'egla. She was chaviva alav like a calf. Okay, some people say, I wanted to quote this in the feminist approach, ke'egla, that an egel doesn't listen to its father and like doesn't put on its yoke like its father wants. So she was also, she didn't listen to her father, she did her own thing. She was an independent woman. Okay. V'chein hu omer, lulei charashtem be'eglati. This is by Shimshon. We see that egla can refer to his wife. He says, had you not plowed with my calf, which really means had you not been with Delilah, right, and gotten information out of her and conspired with her to get me, this never would have happened. Umi havu leMichal b'nei. Wait, did Michal have sons? V'haktiv, in other words, they're saying this Yitraim was the son of Egla, and Egla is Michal, but Michal didn't have sons. How do we know she didn't have children? Because it says after the whole thing, she was laughing at David when he was dancing in front of the Aron. She gets punished, and it says leMichal b'shu lo hayala vlad ad yom mota. So I'm Rav Chista. Let's answer like this. Ad yom mota lo hayala, but be yom mota hayala. She must have died in childbirth, and her son was born at her death.
You couldn't say that she had him before.
Yafeh, that's going to be the other interpretation. Michte banim hecha kachashiv lehu b'chevron. But then it wouldn't mention that these were the sons Yoldulo b'chevron. That doesn't make any sense, because it wasn't born in Chevron. It was born later, after her death. The Iluma said to Michal be Yerushalayim Hava. That was later when he was already Melech in Yerushalayim. Dechtiv, Umichal bat Shaul nishkafa bat Achalon. Vatera et HaMelech Zavi mefasez umecharker lefnei Hashem. Vativez, right? I think it's Beineha, right? And she looked at him disparagingly. Va'amar Rav Yehuda v'item Rav Yosef. Okay, here's another explanation. Shkalta Michal, oh sorry. Then they explained about her there. Shkalta Michal lemitrafsa. That, how they translate that? That
she received her due.
Right, she received her punishment here. Okay, and that was her punishment about the sons. Ema ado toma sehayala mikam ve'elech lo hayala. Okay, exactly as you suggested, that until that point she had sons. It was from then on she wasn't going to have any more children. V'haktiv. Now, doesn't it say, v'yikach David od pilatshim v'nashim v'yirushalayim? So we obviously have more than six. Ah, lemilui yishmona asrei. And as he went up to 18, he didn't go past. My nashim umay pilakshim. Ha. Now we get to what are pilakshim? What's the difference between nashim and pilakshim? Two different gersaot here. Very relevant what the difference is. Amar of Yehuda, I don't know, relevant, but interesting. Amar of Yehuda, Amarav, nashim b'ktubah u'b'kidushim. U'pilakshim below ktubah below kidushim. Pilakshim, just sleep with them. No ktubah, no kidushim, no commitments at all. Okay? Some people say that it's actually with kidushim, but not with a ktubah. Okay, some have a different girsa here. Again, I don't know how relevant it is. And the very important part to mention here is that the Rambam holds that pilakshim are only relevant for a king. And that they're not relevant for anyone else to be having pilakshim, okay? As a react, right, there's that article that came out a number of years ago about pilakshim and having having sex out of marriage, premarital sex. I wanted to quote here.
Not so much pre as extra.
Right, or extramarital. Well, both sort of. There's such a concept as... Right, exactly. Anyway, right, so just be noted that the Rambam specifically limits this to kings, and it's only relevant for kings. Okay. Am Rav Yehuda Amarav. Arbam Reo Yiladim Hayula L'David. Okay, 400 sons. Now that we're going to talk about V'kulam B'nei Yifat Tor Hayu U'migadlei B'lo Rit Hayu. It's almost like he did this for his army purposes. He had lots of children in order to fill his army. Okay, and what did he do? There's this halacha, reshi yifat tor. You could take a woman and not actually marry her properly before she, right, when she's still non-Jewish. You can sleep with her, you can have children with her. And David had 400 children like this, and he basically appointed them as the heads of his army. Okay, they were the tough guys in the Machut Beit David. Tamar bat yifat tor haita. Tamar was one of these daughters from the yifat tor. Shneamar v'ata daberna hamelech ki lo yimne'eni mimech. Okay, what happens in the Amnon and Tamar story? So I'll try to give you the basic details that are important to know. Amnon, she was the sister of Avshalom, okay? She was the daughter of Ma'acha, so you'd have to say that later he married Ma'acha, and she converted, but the Tamar was born to Ma'acha before she converted. How do we know this? Because in the Anon and Tamar story, he basically seduces her to come, right? He gets David to allow Tamar to come and cook for him. He pretends to be sick. He feigns illness. His friend advises him to do this. He feigns illness. And she says, why don't you ask my father for my hand in marriage and let's start with that way. And he doesn't listen and he rapes her. And then after he hates her, and we'll get to that also. So what happens here is we say, right, how could, right, v'ata daberna l'melech ki lo yimne'eni mimcha. Okay, she says, go talk to the king, right, maybe he'll let you marry me. So how could that be? In other words, it sounds like potentially they could have gotten married. But if she was the daughter of Ma'acha, and Ma'acha was the wife of David, and Amnon was the son of David, so basically, in other words, if they both shared the same father and the mother was Jewish at the time, we'll see where this is going, right? Couldn't possibly be that he could marry her. And because of that, she was really the daughter of this woman who was not Jewish. And because of that, the laws of marrying your sister don't apply. at least presumably according to this Gemara. I didn't check it out if that's really the case.
Not that it's okay, but you can sort of understand it. If there were really 400 sons and Lord knows how many daughters, it's a lot harder to keep.
That is true.
I mean, like, there are a lot more people to choose from, and the fact that you might be half related to one of these, you know,
right,
hundreds of people makes it somewhat less unpalatable.
It's
still awful, but...
Right. It's true. Okay, Ula Amnon Re Ushmo Yonadav Ben Shimach Achi David Ish has this all read Ish David, and he was Ish Chacham, and he recommended him what to do. So Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, what does it mean he was Ish Chacham? Ish Chacham Lirisha. Okay, he was a deceptively smart person. Vayomer Maduata Kachadal Ben Amelech, why are you looking so thin? Amar lo Yonadav shchava, and then he tells him, because I love this woman and I want to marry her. Amar lo Yonadav shchava mishkavcha v'atchil v'chulei. So he gives him the advice of what he should do. Pretend to be sick. Ad v'asta le'enei et habriyah, until she then cooks in front of him the food. Batikacha, David allowed it because he thought that she was just cooking food for him. Batikacha amishrata, she takes the pan, batitok lefanav, and she fries it before him. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, shastano minei tigun, she fried it. This is also why they say that that's why David allowed it, because he wanted fried food, and fried food had to be done right in front of him because the fried food isn't fresh later. My time, we're going to get a little graphic here. Amar Rav Yitzchak, nema nekshiralo vasato kut shifcha. Okay, that there was a hair there, and it caused him to be to have his penis cut off while he was having relations with her. If it was tied, if he got tied up in a hair, ihi my avda, what did she do? Why was he so angry at her? She kind of got back at him. Okay, and she tied the hair around him and castrated him. Ini v'ha'amar v'ha'dar ashrava my dechti v'yetze l'chasham goyim v'yofyech she'en le'bno Yisrael lo se'ar beit ha'shechi v'lo beit ha'erva. They darshan this about that the women are beautiful of Bnei Yisrael. There's no beautiful women like them. That they have no bodily, they have no hair on their under their armpits, and they have no hair in their private parts. So how could that be? Again, Shani Tamar d'bat yifator ha'avai. Okay, she was the daughter of the yifator, and therefore. Vatikach Tamar Efer al Rosha. What's the change of word here? Uktone tapasim asher aleha kara. Okay, she does this outward sign of mourning after this event happens to her. Tana mishmeja Rabbi Yosho ben Korcha. Kader gadol di gidra Tamar ba'otasha. She made a huge geder around. Okay, you know, she caused this gader to be created. Okay, by making, what did she do? She was very smart. She made a big public showing of what had happened to her. If this could happen to the daughter of a king, wow, this could really happen to lots of other people, you know, to regular people. And therefore they realize how dangerous rape could be. This is a very interesting Gemara, right? They realize, it's great about, number one, she made a public declaration. It's interesting in the light of that the king can't publicly show his avelut, and here the queen, or the daughter of the king, went out and showed her, hung out her dirty laundry outside, so to speak. And they look at it as a very positive thing. She was able to effect change. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav, Botasha'a, what'd they change? Gazru ala yichud va'ala pnuya. They said that Yichud, a man can't be alone with two women. Okay, they made a law about Yichud for an Ish at Ish and also for a non-married woman. Yichud, they say, wait, Doraita hi. What do you mean they made a gzera on it? It's Asrami Doraita. Da Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Yotzadak. Remez li Yichud Minat Torah Minayin. So first of all, whether it's really Doraita, there's a remez from the Torah. It's not so clear. But there's a remez from the Torah, Shenemar. Ki Yisitcha Achicha Ben Imecha. So now they say, what is this? This has nothing to do with Yichud. This has to do with Avodah Zarah. If your brother, who's the son of your mother, meaning you share the same mother but not the same father, tells you, let's go worship Avodah Zarah, which really is a reference to anybody. So the Gemara says, B'chi ben Eim Mesit and ben Avi no Mesit. Well, he's the son of his mother, but he's not the son of his father. Why did it specifically use that language? Ela lomar lecha ben mityached imo. It's to teach you this halacha that a son is, what the point is, that sons from their mother were commonplace in their mother's house, which means that, it must be okay for a son to live with his mother alone. ואין אחר מתייחד עם כל הראיות שבתורה. Okay, but no one else is allowed to be in a yichud situation with anyone who is usher erva. Okay? Which there's obviously exceptions, like a husband when his wife's a nida, and you know, there's other exceptions to this rule, but they say from here about that. Ela ema gazrul yichud pnuya. What did they were? They were gozer on yichud of an unmarried woman. Vadonia ben chagit minaseh, and that she was not married, Tamar. Vadonia ben chagit minaseh lomar ani amloch.
Was Amnon?
What?
Not that it matters, was Amnon?
Was Amnon married or not? I don't know, it doesn't really matter anyway. I don't know. Right, I don't think he was married. But unclear. I don't think it tells you. Okay, another one, since we're talking about all of David's children, so another thing about one of his children, Adoniah ben Chagit mitnaseh lomar ani amloch. Remember, this is when Shlomo was supposed to take over. David was sick in his bed, and before David even wasn't king anymore, Adoniah already starts laying the groundwork to say ani amloch. What does it mean, mitnaseh? Amar av Yehuda amarav melamed shebikesh lahomo velo holamto. He tried to put on the king's crown, and it didn't fit him. Now, he tried to fit into the king's shoes, but it didn't work for him. So this is what Adoniah does to try to show he's king. My rebuta, why did he take all this? I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Kulan nitule tchol v'chakuke kapot raglayim havu. Why are they telling you this? Because they want to tell you that what did he do? He took out their spleens and he hollowed out their feet in order to make them faster. Okay, so he had these super fast animals. What you do with that, I don't know, but maybe it's the lead-in to the next sugya, which is all about his susim, and how many susim he can have.
This says it was the runners, not the horses.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He did it to the runners?
That's
that's not the way I read it. 1 minute.
What was extraordinary about this? Rav Yehuda said, Rav, all these were runners lacking spleens and having carved souls. That's horrible.
Okay, that really is horrible. I didn't mean that.
With the flesh and nerves of the feet removed, a runner would be able to travel over thorns and sharp objects without feeling pain. Runners in those days ran barefoot.
Yeah, wow.
Because sandals and shoes would slow them down.
Okay. Yeah. They say, actually, there's a good note in the Koran. It says, the chakukei kapot raglayim means that they possibly was a reference to orthopedic surgery to correct abnormal arches. And then, right, they said that, yeah, that either spleens were taken out sometimes because they hinder people's ability to run, or it could be if they had enlarged spleens from a side effect resulting from malaria. Ancient medical texts describe operations for removing people's spleens. Anyway, it says here, one who survives the operation with minimum blood loss and a lack of infection, which good luck to them in those days, can go to live a normal life and will find it easier to run. So, anyway, interesting. obviously, they're trying to show Adoniah not in the most positive light.
They succeeded.
Exactly. Okay, we'll end for today.